Amen. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight and turn to the book of Psalm chapter 3. And we're going to look at the first couple of verses in Psalm chapter 3. Let's stand tonight as we honor the reading of God's Word. Psalm chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1 tonight, the Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And this is a key verse tonight. I want you to notice verse number 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. With God's help tonight, I want to preach on this subject. Some people, God can't help. Do you know there's some people that God can't help? Now, how many of you here tonight will say, I want and I need the help of God in my life? There's some certain situations tonight I need his help. Amen. But just on a daily basis, I need God's help. Amen. And I will tell you that there's some people that God can't help. But the good thing is, once we find out who God can't help, then hallelujah, we'll find out who he can. Amen. Brother Billy, would you pray tonight? Amen. Amen. Yes, please. Amen. Yes. Please. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In my ministry, I've been able to help many people through preaching, through teaching, through counseling, through praying. And any of you preachers here, you know how that is. It's a great thing, ain't it, Brother Leonard, to be able to help somebody, to know that you've helped them and God's used you to help them. And God's used me to help many a soul, and I appreciate the Lord for that. But I tell you, the sad and discouraging part of my ministry is the number of people that I've tried to reach out to and the number of people that I've tried to help, but I was unsuccessful. But I believe there's something even sadder than that. What's sadder than that is at Christian men and women not being able to help or reach someone. Sadder than a man or a woman not being able to reach someone. What is sadder is when God can't even help them. Now I want you to notice what we just read. And I want you to read the superscription above this psalm we read here tonight. It said, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. And I want you to remember the story behind this. David's son Absalom led a revolt against his father to take over the throne. And in verse 2, we see that what David said the people were saying about him. Now, what they were saying about David was wrong because God did help David. And Absalom's revolt was defeated. But what the people were saying was true about a great deal of people that I know and that you know of. God can't help them. And listen to me tonight. I want you to understand this. The reason God can't help some people is not because God lacks the power to do it. It's not because God lacks the knowledge. It's not because he's not concerned. Right. It's not because God doesn't want to help and it hasn't got anything to do with God's character. The reason he won't help is because of his character. And there's some things that he said, look, I am not going to help you if you're not going to go by my word and do how I tell you to do it and be the kind of person I tell you to be. There's some people, you know, that there's another verse over here in the book of Psalms where it says, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. And you would say, look at that thing, you say, how in the world can a fella limit God? Who in the world can limit God? I thought God was omnipotent. I thought he was omniscient. I thought he was omnipresent. I thought he was powerful more than anybody, anyone. Yes, he is, but he will limit himself in what he will do in a person's life. And he will limit himself in what he'll do in a church's life based on what you do toward him. And you sometimes, you know what we do? It's like we bind the hands of God to move in our life and to move in our church by what we do and what we don't do. Now I want to give you three things here tonight that I believe that will help you. Some people that God can't help. We'll find out who it is tonight that God cannot help. But then, thank God, once we find out who God cannot help, we'll look at the reverse of that. We'll find out those are the people that he can help. And I don't know about you. I need his help. Amen. I need his help tonight. I can't do a thing if he don't show up here tonight. And the preaching, I can't do a thing in my life for him if he don't help me. And by the sound of all those prayer requests we had here tonight, we need a lot of help.
Amen.
Number one, here we go. God cannot help people who do not think they need help.
Yes.
The first person God can't help is a fellow that says he don't need help. You know what everybody in here has got to do tonight to get help from God? You've got to have that realization like that the prodigal son did over there in Luke 15 when the Bible says that he came to himself. You've got to get to a point where you realize you need help. Listen, you can't get a fella saved if he don't know he's lost. And you folks that's trying to win a soul to the Lord, don't jump over the lost part. Don't jump over the hellfire part and try to get them in. You've got to get that fella lost. If you don't get him lost, he can't get saved. You can't get a fellow help that don't think he needs help.
Amen.
You can't do a thing for him. A person's got to realize that he's wrong before he can repent. I don't care if he's got problems with drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, unforgiveness, envy, or gossip. The sin of the Baptist, gossip. And now you don't do it with your mouth, you do it with your thumbs. Amen. A fellow cannot get help until he realizes he needs help. I read about that woman of Canaan with a daughter possessed with a devil over in Matthew 15, 22. The Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She came to the Lord for help. She realized she had a problem. God can't help folks that don't think they have a problem. God can't help folks that think they're all right. God can't help folks that think, I'm not that bad. I ain't like old so-and-so over there. Your standard ain't old so-and-so over there. Your standard is God.
Yeah.
A fella can't get any help. He can't get any help. And listen to me tonight. Listen, it's not just a Christian. A church can't get help without seeing it needs help. You remember the Laodicea over there? That church over there, you know what it says? It says, you say you're so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. And God comes along there in that passage and he said, but you know us not that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind. You know what that church over there in Laodicea, you know what they were saying? They were saying, we're fine, we got everything, we got the goods, man. We're a great church, we're fine. They didn't even know they needed help. You can't get help. Listen, you can't get help if you don't know you need help. Who's going to get help if they don't even know they need it?
Amen.
I've said this here before, and I'll say it again. One of the most pitiful things you'll ever see is a drunk. I mean a sure enough drunk. And he's the only one that ain't in on it. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, his boss knows he's a drunk. He don't show up half the time. His children knows he's a drunk. His wife knows he's a drunk. The neighbors knows he's a drunk. Everybody around him knows he's a drunk. But the only one that don't know he's a drunk is the drunk.
Yes.
And that's why he's a drunk and he can't get any help. I'm all right. I'm all right. I can handle my liquor. I can quit anytime I want to. No, you can't. You're a fool. You can't quit anytime you want to. If you could quit, you would, because it's costing you your marriage. It's costing you your children. It's costing you your health. It's costing you your finances. Why don't you throw the stuff away? Because you can't. That's why you don't throw it away.
Amen.
Fella can't get help. You can't. A fella can't get help if he don't think he needs it. That's a little bit about what I preached on Sunday night about. I want the pity of God. Well, along with his pity, I want his help. But God's not going to help nobody that thinks they're all right. And God's not going to help anybody that thinks, you know, everybody's just making a big deal out of it. Any of you ever dealt with folks like that and they just say, you're just making a big deal out of this. I ain't really that bad. I ain't really that messed up. This ain't really that big of a problem. Why don't you just calm down? You can't help a fellow like that. You can't do a thing for a fellow like that. Listen, if Holy Hills Baptist Church don't come together before God often and say, God, there's been times in the life of this church we've been nothing but a soup sandwich. Amen. We can talk about all the people that's been in here and all the things we've done and the nice facilities and whatever. God won't visit this place ever. I tell this church, as a church every once in a while just bows down and says, God, we haven't done right. We haven't been right. At times we were not right. We need your help. We need you to get us right. That's what God will work in this church.
Amen.
That's how God works in the individual's life. He comes to him, he says, God, I ain't everything in a bag of chips. I ain't in my bag of chips. I ain't in my bag. I am a loser. Boys, you won't hear Joel Osteen preach on that. Pump up your self-esteem. You can do it. You can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't.
Right.
You just listen to that mess. You can't get any help unless you realize you need some. Number two, God cannot help people who won't ask Him for help or come to Him for help. Listen, some may actually realize and know that they need help, but out of pride they refuse to ask God for the help. Psalm 38:22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Remember the man with the son possessed by a devil over in Mark 9? He said, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. He's crying out to God. Some people don't want help. They want to live a wicked life, and they'd rather go to a secular psychologist or some of that mess than go to the Bible and go find out what God wants to do to help them. I'll tell you something else about getting help too. Now, you got to throw away plan A, and you got to throw away plan B, and you got to have this plan back here, and if this don't work, and when everything else is exhausted, then I'll try Jesus. That's foolish. You ought to go to Him first. You ought to go to God first. God can't help people who won't ask for His help or come for help. You know, I remember a song. I believe it was Charlie Daniels. I'm trying to remember who sang it, all that. You know, when you grow up in the South and you're a teenage boy, you like all that rebellious singing if you ain't right with God. And many of my years as a teenager, I wasn't right with God. Charlie Daniels, I believe he's the one that sang that song, I Ain't Asking Nobody for Nothing, that I can't get on my own.
Yeah.
If you don't like so-and-so, so-and-so, just leave this long-haired country boy alone.
That's right.
Am I the only one that ever knew that song, y'all?
No.
I see a bunch of rednecks in here. You know it, too. You know that song, too, yeah. Well, I got news, and I'm glad Charlie Daniels, I suppose I've heard that he got saved, and I'm glad he did. Devil went down to Georgia, at least the devil didn't get him or something. I'm glad he got saved. But let me tell you something about Charlie Daniels or anyone else that sings that. I ain't asking nobody for nothing, I can't get on my own. You'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. You'll go to hell and you'll burn forever. You can't get salvation on your own. You've got to have help. And after you get saved, you got to have help. And you got to ask for help and humble yourself and want help. You can't be prideful and all puffed up. Those are the people that God's going to pass over. He ain't going to touch you with a 10-foot pole. Whoa. You tell Charlie Daniels I said that. I ain't asking nobody for nothing. I can't get on my own. There's a lot of things you can't get on your own. What about if God takes His oxygen away? I've had asthma and I've had bronchitis and I know what you're talking about. And if God don't let you breathe, sister, you ain't going to breathe. And you can't get that on your own. There ain't nothing you can get on your own. Listen, that's why God passes over a bunch of people. Some of you probably looking at me tonight and you're thinking, my goodness in heaven, why would God have this man right here as our pastor? I mean, I could go down there through Dyersburg. We didn't have to go to South Alabama to drag him up here. I'd go down through Dyersburg and find 1,000 people better than him. You could. But you'd find 1,000 people that don't think they need anything.
Right.
They think they already got it. You can't get a fellow up here preaching God's word that thinks he's all puffed up and he's everything and strutting around like a peacock and he don't need God and he don't need help. If the presence and the power of God don't come on me every time I get in this pulpit, you can put Ichabod over this place and just everybody leave and go home, do that which is right in their own eyes. Just watch, sit up and watch the late show or whatever you want to do. There ain't no sense in coming to church. You ain't going to get anything if God don't show up. We don't program God out of our churches. We think we can get in here and just do it our way and just have enough fancy stuff going on and lights and flashing and draw all the people in and just have a big old hoot nanny up here in the sanctuary. But if God don't show up, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. I don't care if we put 3,000 people in here now, bless God. If He don't show up, it's a zero here at Holy Hill. We got to cry out for His help, cry out for His presence. I'd rather have God hanging around this place with 100 people than have 500 people in this place and God ain't within a million miles of the thing.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. Glory. That's good preaching, even if I am the one doing it.
Amen.
God can't help people who won't ask for His help. And then number three, God cannot help people who refuse His help. See, some people, listen to me now, some people get to the point where they admit, I need help. And then some people come to the Lord and say, God, I need help. Help me. Show me what to do. Then they won't do what God tells them to do to get help.
Right.
Amen. Some folks, they just refuse counsel, good counsel. They refuse the Bible. They refuse good preaching. They refuse what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. And God's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to force you to do it. He'll give you what he wants you to give you. But then you got to do it. I changed my prayer over the years. For years there, this is what I prayed. I'd pray about something. And I'd pray about God's direction like I am about a bunch of things right now. And I'd say, Lord, this is how I pray. I say, Lord, please. Please, Lord, just show me what you want me to do. Please, Lord, make your will known to me. God, just give me direction. And I still pray that. I still pray that. But see, I realize that ain't enough. I pray something else. This is how I pray now. I pray, God, show me what you want me to do. Give me your direction. Make it clear to me. And then give me the courage to do it. I believe a lot of times he shows us exactly what he wants us to do, but we don't want to do it. He may not answer the prayer like you want him to. He may not tell you what, you know, I've done a lot of counseling in my life, and I've had many people come to my office, and I'll tell you what I found out about it, Brother Billy, when they want marital counseling or counseling for problems or whatever, they ain't there to hear no counseling. They done made their mind up before they got there. They're going to try to get in there and trick me into saying something, go out there and tell their wife and say, well, the preacher told me that I could leave you. You lying dog. I didn't say no such a thing. You done had your mind made up, you hellion, to leave her before you ever got in there. Now you're trying to get me in it. Well, thump your head off. I done got about half mad thinking about it. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a preacher that didn't get mad every once in a while. You got a preacher, don't get up here and get a little miffed every once in a while. He's got lace on his drawers. Now you keep staring at me, we'll just rear back and preach on Wednesday night. How about that? You keep staring at me, we'll preach a little bit. I'm trying to calm it down a little bit, but we will preach. I'll just tear it wide open. I don't give a rip about live stream or not. You can unfriend me and say whatever you want to about on Facebook now. I'm telling you, I'm here to preach. Yes, sir. Amen. I feel a little something now. They go in there and act like they want, oh, Brother Dennis, we know you're a man of God. We just want to know. You don't. You don't know anything. You don't want to hear nothing I got to say. You've got your mind made up. God, Jesus Christ could appear right there in front of you and tell you exactly what he wants you to do, but you ain't going to do it. Now you act like you want help, and you act like you want direction, and you act like, nah, you want the help and direction that you think you ought to do. You don't want to do it like God tells you how to do it. Because God may tell you something you ain't ready to hear. There's been many times I prayed about something and God told me something I wasn't ready to hear. God told me a whole different thing when I said, God, I need help. I need direction. And God says, you really want help? You really want? Oh, yes, Lord. I mean business. I'm super Christian. I want help and I want direction. God says, all right, it's exactly what I want you to do. I don't think that was you, Lord. The wires got crossed. I was trying to pray up, and I think that thing went down there. Maybe that was the devil talking. No, that's God. Listen, it don't do you any good. God can't help somebody that refuses to do what he tells them to do to get help. You know what some of you've done? Some of you need help tonight. Some of you need help. And you've been in enough sermons and you've read the Bible enough and enough Sunday school, whatever, and God spoke to you exactly about what you need to do and you don't want to do it. You want to do something else. You say, I don't know. There's God's way to help you, but you got to do it his way. You know what some of you need to pray tonight? Some of you, when I close this message here in a moment, it's not a long message. It's not a long, drawn-out thing. But I'm going to close this message here in a moment. You know what some of you need to do? You need to find your way up this altar and you need to say, God, my life is a mess. This situation is a mess. I need your help. I need your help. Oh, God in heaven, I need your help. And this is what I want you to do, God. That's what I want you to do. I want you to show me exactly from your word and speak in my spirit tonight exactly what I need to do. And then, God, give me the courage to do it.
Amen.
Give me. You show me what you want me to do. And God, would you help? Help me to do it.
Amen.
Now, the people God won't help is the people that don't think they need help. The people God won't help are the people that won't come to him for help. The people God won't help are the people that won't do what he tells them to do to get help. Now let's reverse that. Hallelujah. Here's a positive. Everybody says I'm such a negative preacher. We're saving the best for last. We're going to put the icing on the cake. This is good old positive preaching, man. Good positive preaching. The positive preaching is you don't have to walk out of here a loser tonight. I mean, if you need help tonight, if this church needs help tonight, guess what? This is what we can all say. Number one, it's how I can get help by saying, God, I need help. I don't have it. I need it. I do have a problem. You can get saved tonight if you're here and you can say I'm lost. If you can say I'm lost, then you can get saved. But until you're lost, you can't get saved. And then you come to a point and you say, well, you know, God can't help people that won't ask. I'm asking you. I'm coming to you. I'm asking you for help. I'm coming to you. I need help. I'm asking for help. And then the thing is, well, God won't help a fellow that once he tells him what to do to get help that refuses it. God, I'm not going to refuse it. It may not be what I want to hear tonight. May not be what I want to hear. But if you'll show me something, if you'll speak to me tonight, right here on a Wednesday night, right here in the middle of the week, everybody's tired, everybody's wore out. Nobody wore the old fancy suits to church except for me tonight. And this is about fancy as it gets. Some of you just barely got here, didn't you? And it's Wednesday night and you're tired and whatever. Well, wouldn't it be something if God on a Wednesday night, the service you probably, most people just blow off, he just blew in here. And he helped somebody here tonight. But you know how he's going to help you? He's going to help you when you say, okay, Lord, you show me what I need to do for this, to get this help or whatever this is. And if you'll give me the courage, I'll do it. Whether I like it or not, whether I want to do it or not, don't matter. I really believe that the Lord is in here. Sometimes I believe the Lord gives me a message, or maybe collectively for a lot of people. And I think this thing can help a lot of people. I'm going to tell you what I believe. What I believe. I ain't trying to get kooky or charismatic. Everybody just calm down. I really believe there's one person or two. I don't know who you are or where you are, but this was a specific message for one, maybe two, but especially one person. There's somebody here tonight that God had me preach this for you. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. Somebody tonight, he's told you what he wants you to do, and you don't really want to accept it, and he's saying you've got to accept it. You've got to do it to get help. Believe that. Believe that right here tonight. Somebody. Psalm 46:1. God is a very present help in trouble. He's our help and shield. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Psalm 124:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Listen, folks, tonight, listen to me. God wants to help you. But the question is, can he help you? Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed.